1500 K1 and our community connection brought to you this morning by Advanced Orthopedics of Oklahoma. Because schools are out next week for spring break, I get to talk with Superintendent Chuck McCauley a few days early. And spring break, does it officially start tomorrow or Monday?
Actually, for all of our schools on Monday, okay. our elementaries, they're having parent-teacher conferences tonight, tomorrow, so elementaries are not in school on Friday.
Feel like spring break.
That's right. But our middle and high schools, they'll both be in school tomorrow.
Okay, so students, you still have to get up and go to school tomorrow. There could be a test. In fact, my teachers would have all scheduled tests on that Friday.
Yeah, end of the day, that's probably right. That's right.
Congratulations on an award last night.
Yeah, thank you. We just had some great news that we're really proud to share, and this will be the first place we've talked about it, Charlie. Project Lead the Way, they have a school and district recognition program, and Project Lead the Way is it's a national STEM curriculum, and I've talked about it before on the radio, and we was really proud. A year ago, we found out that our middle schools both are recognized through their recognition program. They break their awards into, there's elementaries, middle schools, and high schools. And last year, our middle schools were recognized as distinguished gateway schools, and they were again this year. We just found that again last week, or maybe 2 weeks ago, that they received that recognition. And to put that into perspective, well, first of all, to say you receive that by the number of kids, your enrollment that are in STEM courses, and then also the retention, how many kids stay in the program for the next year. And our middle schools, Central and Madison, they're two of four middle schools in Oklahoma that have received that. So really proud about that, for them to receive that. And to put that into context regionally, last year, the state of Texas, there was only three. There was one in Arkansas, zero in Kansas, and I believe one in Colorado Springs. But really excited to find out. We thought our high school might qualify this year because of our increased enrollment, specifically in computer science. And we just found out that they did. So we're the first comprehensive high school in Oklahoma to receive that distinction, to be considered a distinguished high school through Project Lead the Way. There are, I think, three of the tech schools receive that award also, but we're the only high school in Oklahoma. And I tried to look up before I came over. There's a few in Texas, I think three in Texas that have received that, and none in Kansas. And so it's a very... It's very hard to achieve. At the high school level, it's based off of your enrollment, but also they have end-of-course assessments. And our kids, especially in that computer science field, they do very, very well. And that's a kudos to the staff, Jeremy Hanks over at Bartlesville High School, and really proud to share that with you today, Charlie.
Sounds as though it would be fair to call that an elite number then.
That's exactly right. It truly is. And we're confident as we move forward in terms of expanding our program. Our elementary schools, which is called Project Lead the Way Launch, we have been implementing modules there, and we're implementing our second module from kindergarten through the fifth grade. We started with computer science last year. So we feel that next year, all of our elementary schools will also qualify to be recognized, which that would put our entire district as a distinguished district, which I think this year there's about 116 in the country. So we would... we would be in a very elite group. So very proud that the work's being done to give those opportunities for our kids.
And you have always reflected the credit off to the foundation for providing the funding for those modules.
That's exactly right. We've been very blessed. Obviously, Phillips 66 with their contribution to remodel our middle schools and high schools. So we have innovation labs, and then we've invested in our staffing to increase opportunities for kids. There is no career tech or federal funding that helps with below eighth grade. And so our public school foundation has picked up that gap to help us provide these opportunities for our elementary kids for that launch program. And they are finishing up their last year to help us implement these modules. Blair was on talking about that last month, and they're getting close to their target goal of $100,000 for this year. And there's some big donors that have helped us with that Project Lead the Way launch. ConocoPhillips, ABB just announced this week that they're going to help us again this year. Arvest and Truity, those are some of the, and numerous individuals help us with that. So we're very, very fortunate to have that type of support. You know, as that's something that, Charlie, as we move forward, with our future bond issue that we can, many of those expenses we can use bond funds for. And so that's what we're planning for, so that we won't have to ask the foundation for to raise community funds to be able to provide that for our kids.
Well, since you brought it up, let's go ahead and talk about that proposed bond issue. And I realize that it's technically not proposed until the board votes on it in May, but we're going to say there will be one.
Yeah, as you know, you've been coming to our board meetings, Charlie. We've been talking about it for months at the board level. We had our first special board meeting last month in February. We have two scheduled coming up that are open to the public if anyone's interested. So let me begin with the end. What we're targeting is most likely would be a vote in August for a bond issue election in August. I believe that Tuesday is the 13th of August is what we're targeting. To call an election, our school board must approve the resolution 60 days ahead of time. So we're targeting our May school board meeting when the board would actually approve this is the amount, this is what it would be for, and this is what the election would be. I think our deadline is June 13th, but we're targeting our board vote on it in May.
Now, that would be, and I don't have a calendar in front of me, something around the 20th, that third Monday in May.
Yes, I think it's the 21st, Charles. Okay. I think you're right around that time. You're absolutely right. So leading up to that, we've been having lots of discussions internally, but we've had we have scheduled special board meetings the last Wednesday of the month. So the Wednesday after spring break, I believe that's the 27th. At noon, and also we'll have another one the last Wednesday in April at noon, and those will be at the high school and the hospitality room next to the in the Bruin Fieldhouse there, right off the lobby. So you can park there at that south by the Bruin Activity Center and come right in. We're trying to limit those to an hour, and I know at our first meeting we had about 30 folks from the community that were there at a strong turnout and talking about what's going to be on that issue. And so just as an overview of the issue, really what we're talking about is a continuation of what we did in 2016. I want to start by saying this would not raise our property taxes. This would keep our tax level the same.
And then I'm going to just re-specify, it won't change your tax rate. Your assessed valuation could affect the actual dollars, right, but the rate is not going to change.
That's right, Charlie. Yeah. Thank you for clarifying that. And the biggest piece of it, just like now we have bond funds set aside to help us for the next couple years, to help us on things like technology, transportation, maintenance, curriculum. This would be a continuation of that. And so really the number, we're still talking about what all will be included, but I anticipate the total package to be somewhere around $15 million is what I anticipate that total number being. Within that number will be there'll be two different votes because transportation has to be a separate vote. I know like on the transportation side, we'd be looking at updating our buses. We've made a tremendous upgrade from the 2016 bond issue, and this would be looking at targeting our buses that were about 10 years old on upgrading those with help us with efficiency. So we'll have the biggest chunk of it, the largest items that will be that what we're talking about being included at on the issue would be related to technology. As you know, matter of fact, in August we'll be one-to-one in terms of having a Chromebook device for every 6th to 12th grade student in Bartlesville. We have that at the high school currently. We'll be rolling that out at the middle school level this year. Also, we'll have at all of our elementaries, starting in August, we'll have at least 6 Chromebook carts. So I know many people may be familiar with at the elementary level, maybe where you have a room set aside for a computer lab and you bring the kids in. That's our current practice to use computers. And so this enables these carts are mobile, where you actually it's a mobile computer cart. Mm-hmm. So obviously, because that's where you really want the devices in the hands of the kids. And so we'll have this year we'll have at least 6 at each elementary. There's a few because of title funding and maybe some parent funding. They may have as many as 8 depending on the school. But so and the maintenance of that project and everything that goes along with that is that's what's really the biggest item that will be included in this bond issue to continue on the technology side. Our elementaries, all they have smart boards that they use, and a majority of those were funded. They began in around 2007, 2008.
Yeah, I would say those are getting to be about 12, maybe even 14 years old.
That's right. It's you were at the meeting, or we had no we'll. Mr. Metter has given a couple presentations about that. Obviously, it's time to replace those, and so that'll be a big teaching tool. I know that our elementary teachers, that's just part of what they do, and so we need to update those. And so if this is something that would be successful in August, we'd be looking at most likely in the summer of the summer of 20, half of our elementaries, we would replace them, and the next summer we'd replace the other half throughout the district. So technology will be the largest component of the bond issue. We'll also have some curriculum needs, make sure we have money set aside for textbooks or a version of a textbooks. We're obviously shifting towards electronic textbooks in most areas, or services that go along with the books to make them. We're going through that shift right now, just like we all are at home. We're doing that same thing. We're doing that same thing in the classroom. So those are the largest items. We'll continue to have money set aside for, I mentioned transportation, also for maintenance items. Right now, the only, we know the only square footage that we're planning on adding at this point would be a building for our agricultural or ag program that we're starting here. Matter of fact, we just hired our teacher for that this past week. And so it'll be over at the high school, and this will be a classroom space or shop, about 6,000 square feet, by the Bruin Activity Center. This is not animals. I know, in case you live by the high school, I've had a couple of people ask me, there won't be animals there. This would really be a classroom space.
You're not going to be disturbed by mooing or anything like that.
That's right.
Unless some student activity goes on.
That's right. Yeah, at some point we will plan. I mean, that's something that we need to get our teacher in here and get our kids, get the program going to determine what direction we want to go on the animal side and where that might be and what makes the most sense. So really talking about just working within our existing square footage, keeping our property taxes where they are, and continuing to give us the flexibility that we need to meet the needs of our kids.
And we're talking with Superintendent Chuck McCauley on a Community Connection. We will continue. We have a few more topics to cover when we continue in just a moment.
Announcing the new Advanced Orthopedics of Oklahoma. Two of Oklahoma's premier orthopedic experts, Central State Orthopedics and Eastern Oklahoma Orthopedic Center, EOC, have now merged to become Oklahoma's premier orthopedic healthcare expert, Advanced Orthopedics of Oklahoma, PLLC. So if you're in need of back surgery, knee or hip replacement, call the specialist at Advanced Orthopedics of Oklahoma, 918-494-9300. Advanced Orthopedics of Oklahoma now offers the best orthopedic care in the state, and I should know. It's where I had my back surgery. So whether you're in need of back surgery, hip or knee replacement, trust your happiness to Advanced Orthopedics of Oklahoma, located in the Natalie Building at 65th and Yale. Call 918-494-9300. Advanced Orthopedics of Oklahoma.
AM 1400, 93.3 FM, K1, and again, spending our time this morning with Superintendent Chuck McCauley. The plans for the Hall of Fame. I mean, this is a continuing annual project that goes on, and some of the names that have been already mentioned are huge.
Thank you, Chara. Thanks for bringing that up. I know Blair Ellis with the foundation. This is the 10th year for our Teacher Hall of Fame breakfast, and so it's been very successful. Have three individuals that'll be inducted the week after spring break. Mm-hmm. Now's the time to buy your tickets if you're interested.
Sure.
I know Earl Sears, Barbara Tunin, and I can't remember the third name off the top of my head, but we will be making those inductions right after spring break.
And while I would expect you to know those names, it's Blair's project, not yours.
That's right. I try to help her on the fundraising side with that. But it's a great event.
It's really special.
Really special for our teachers. I know we have folks in the community that sponsor tables for all of our schools, so teachers can be represented from each school site without any out of pocket expense. But it's a packed house there at the community center. It's that Thursday after spring break, I believe. I believe it's the 28th, I think.
So that would sound right anyway, yeah.
Yeah. So I would encourage you. But if you want to buy a ticket, that's through the Bartlesville Public School Foundation. You can do that online, or Blair Ellis can be contacted at the Education Service Center.
I think I know the website, but I'm just going to say Google Bartlesville Community Foundation, Bartlesville School Foundation, and you'll find it.
That's exactly right, too. So it's a great event if you haven't been, and so I would encourage you to anyone that would have any interest to check that out and join us.
Okay. What else is on the menu for projects?
Yeah, well, we obviously right now, springtime is here. You know, we've officially rolled over from our winter kind of winter seasons, and it's kind of blown into our spring season, I guess I should say.
Baseball, cross country, or I mean, track service, that kind of stuff. Yeah,
that's right. Yeah, we hosted last Friday, actually. We had a lot going on at the high school. It was a fun day. You know, obviously finishing up the Great American Conference basketball tournament.
It was a great host. Thank you so much for those years.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. So proud of one of our own, Haley Tucker's team. Southwestern, where they won the conference tournament. I was glad to get to the finals and see her play.
Win a championship in your home court, so to speak.
It was pretty cool. But last Friday we had a track meet. Mm-hmm. I think we had 22 teams. We had about 900 kids that were. So in addition to the Great American Conference tournament, we had a lot going on with this track meet. And so David Ayers, who's now our head track coach, he's headed up the cross country program for years. Now he oversees the track program. They put on a great meet. We had lots of participation, and we're able to host that because mm-hmm. of our previous bond. Obviously, we updated our track, and so we were glad to be able to do that. We'll have next month, we'll have with our new tennis courts, we'll also be continuing to host tennis tournaments as well. But yeah, we're officially into that spring sports season, spring concert season. And along with that, too, should mention spring testing season will be upon us soon. And so if there's any folks out there that are interested in being test proctors, they can do that. And there's ways to, I know our parent groups typically kind of help the schools get volunteers.
But they could call, I guess, any of the schools that they live near if they have a choice, that even though they don't live by, I don't care, Madison, if they wanted to help at Madison, call Madison and say, I want to help.
That's exactly right. And the counselors will get you signed up. And they have ways you can sign up electronically. It's not an exciting job, but it's an important job. It's watching kids take tests. But we are required to have those. So really appreciate if folks have the time and the ability to get away to do that. Yeah.
If you haven't seen the field at Custer Stadium, new turf in there, right?
Yeah, turf turned out great. When you do that over winter month, obviously I was very concerned because really concerned, most concerned with our soccer programs, making mm-hmm. sure that we're having that complete so that our kids have access. I know that Spence Rigdon talked to our soccer coaches about that before doing it to make sure they wanted to, because that was a risk. And we talked about making sure that first game, we're not sure whether we'd be able to get it complete, but they did, and we're playing on it, and it's been a great asset. I don't know if everyone realizes how much use we're able to get out of that turf.
I think the stereotype is that it's a football field, and once football season is over, well, we don't have to do anything with it.
That's
not true, but I think that's the conception.
That's exactly right. You know, we have a huge soccer program, an outstanding program. We have lots of kids that are involved to obviously play on that throughout the spring. In the fall, a lot of people just think about our high school team on Friday night, but we have obviously our junior high programs, 8th and 9th grade teams, junior varsity. And if you'll go on a Saturday by the high school in the fall, our YMCA, we have youth football from 1st grade to 7th, I guess. They're there all day, every day. And so it's and that's not something you could do if we're on a grass field. I mean, obviously with the maintenance of it. So we get lots of use out of that, not to mention our band. You know, our band practices on the field. And so for that ability, we're very thankful to have that playability. And, Charlie, that's something I know you mentioned off air. We were having some discussions, and I think the sports guys have probably talked about that a little bit. Something that's being discussed for our future, our next bond issue, too, would be to include, for the same reasons, to turf at Dungey Stadium, the infield. If we did that, we'd also do our softball field, really just for playability purposes. I mean, it'd be wonderful if we had a big lead, Major League Baseball field crew that could take care of it all the time.
You know, there are still, I don't know, if you went digging for it, I'm told you could find Mickey Mantle's autograph there on one of the walls or something like that. And if, you know, invite people in to see that. But just for playability, it makes sense, even though I think the looks of a grass field is great.
I do too. I think it's, but for playability, especially, you know, we have such great partners here. Oklahoma Wesleyan University, I mean, this would enable them, you know, you could play a high school game at 4 and then play a college game at 7 or vice versa, however that shook out. And so that would give them the opportunity to play some more on the field. Obviously, our summer teams get a chance to play there. And I know Spence Rigdon, who's doing a great job as our athletic and activities director, he thinks that's something we could host some city championships, some Little League championships on that field, which are all-star game type things for our young kids, which would be a great benefit. Same thing on the softball side. You know, if we have that turf over on the softball side, that could also benefit Wesleyan University softball team if necessary. And then also for our youth softball as well. So without that additional maintenance expense.
And depending on how it's installed, I know that the base underneath the turf at the high school, a lot of work underneath it that probably will help water drain a whole lot better. And it would be the same thing, my guess anyway, at Dungeness.
Yes, that's exactly right. And it's something that if our folks, if you have a child that plays on these teams, if you go around at the high school level and see that, that's what most of the schools have are going to because of that playability and that opportunity. Because as you know, especially this time of year in the spring, weather can be a challenge. And so I know our guys were able to get the game in down at Owosso yesterday, and mm-hmm. that probably would have been a challenge if they didn't have that turf there,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, so, for sure.
Yeah.
I think the game where Owosso came here was canceled because we didn't have the turf or other things.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Yeah, so we're looking forward for those. Those aren't you know, big dollar numbers, but there's something that's in terms of maintenance items and playability. We think it's best for our community.
Well, sounds great. Again, if you can help proctor a test, make your volunteer known. And Bartlesville Community School Foundation, rather. I don't want to confuse the two. They both need your money, but we're talking School Foundation. Buy your tickets or make that donation. And if you are eligible for matching funds on that donation, make sure it's of the proper amount so that those extra dollars come in the foundation as well. Thank you very much. Chuck McCauley with us on a Community Connection on K1.
A Civil War soldier's uniform got mixed up, in which he had a shirt on from the north and pants from the south. As a result, he got shot at from both sides. Take a minute to consider that the Bible